Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast, This Week in America. Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer by Joshua Miles is about an Egyptian boy's life. Through his mentor, Mr. Akeem, memories of his father and his caring mother, he turns his experiences into teachable moments that later blossom into something great. The book is embedded projects-based learning, puts math into motion, aviation design and building, history, nature, and science, all wrapped in an easy-to-read, action-packed adventure. Joshua is a current doctoral candidate at Triton University, a Harvard University graduate. He's traveled to over 40 countries, and it's that experience, his experience traveling, that inspired him to write this book and the coming sequel, which is entitled Ali and the Desert Sea Flyer, Break Through the Noise. And joining us on This Week in America, Joshua Miles, author of Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. Joshua, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
What an excellent job you've done with this book and so much to talk about. Let's start with the basics. What was the idea? Where did this come from for Ali and His Adventures?
Oh, wow. I don't know if you have the time for that. You know, it's funny. So I was, at the time, I was teaching at St. Bonaventure, which is a school that we have a lot of Navajo Nation students there. And it was the last day of summer school, and I was sitting at the picnic table. And I said to my teaching assistant, I said, I looked up at her and I said, write a book. So that's what started it. And, you know, as any authors, any writers do, they write down ideas, and it kind of, you know, culminates to, you know, a main theme, and then you get the ball rolling. And, I you know, it's funny because I was traveling back to New York from New Mexico, and I was staying in hotels. I was writing in hotels. I was writing in my friend's house, writing in different areas. And that's how it came about. But really, my travels to somewhere between 40 and 50 countries, that's what really inspired me to write the book.
That's amazing. And the book is doing so well and available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. What inspired you to write the book? Maybe people that have inspired you along the way, and you've taken their successes and used them in your storytelling. Who are the people that have inspired you?
You know, I've taught in many countries, and people have shown me some amazing methods for agriculture, amazing methods to do machine work. And, you know, so Mr. Akeem is in the book. He's one of the main characters, and he is the symbol for all of that. And I put all of these teachings and ideas through him, and it just sequenced out through him. You know, I've lived in the Middle East for about a decade. I've lived in Asia for 4 years. I've and through that I've traveled quite a bit. So that's pretty much how it all kind of came together.
When you were exposed to these people initially, did you ever have any idea that you would use maybe their qualities in writing books, or is that something that just came back to you later? You were so impressed, you recalled on these people and what made them so successful to reflect in your book.
Right, it came later, actually. And as you see, the agricultural part of the book, that I kind of put two and two together, and I said, well, if this works, if this fertilization process works, what's the next step? How can I take the next step? You know, and even the mathematics that I've included into the book and the aviation experience that I have, it all kind of just meshed together, and the traveling kind of topped it all off.
How challenging was it to write this book and to keep it entertaining for a younger audience, and at the same time, be able to get these valuable lessons in there? It's not like you're teaching them. They're presented in such a way that it's very understandable. It's very easy to follow and motivating for the reader. How challenging was that to incorporate the goals that you had in mind, making it an entertaining story at the same time?
So that's actually a good question. So I wanted to find a way where students see the need. Yes, technology is good, but where did those ideas from technology come from?
Yes.
And they came from nature. And there's a lot of people who have designed great things and come up with amazing patents, and they started with nature. You know, some of the people, you know, Isaac Newton, Nikola Tesla, Dr. Walter Russell, Les Brown, Victor Schauberger, and even Bruce Lee. You know, all of these people have come from the roots of nature to accomplish what they've accomplished. And there's a great, I got to tell you, there's a great TED Talk, and it's called Why Tech Needs Humanities with Eric Berridge. And he started a $200 million company when they were on the brink of bankruptcy, and he basically found somebody. It's a great talk, but he found somebody who had those roots, and they built this company that was $200 million. So that's kind of how it worked. You know, when I was in Peru, I traveled all over Peru, and the people there know how to work with nature, and they don't get in nature's way. They work around it. And so I wanted to get a lot of these ideas into the book and show people the mathematics and show where it starts and how it progresses, the Fibonacci sequence, the golden ratio. And I got to tell you, it all started with a mug. That's how this whole thing started, with a mug.
With a coffee mug. And you're holding it up on the YouTube video of our conversation, just an ordinary mug you'd pick up at the store.
So here's how this works. It started with a mug, some water, and light. Okay? And basically, if you look in a mug, you'll see a shape. It's very similar to this shape here. Okay?
Okay. Oh, yes.
All right. And that's part of the Mandelbrot set. And what I found when I was teaching at Bismarck State College, what I found is many parts of the Mandelbrot set are aerodynamic. And then I learned on Mathologer that there is a mathematical sequence to the Mandelbrot set. And then I had my students design several different ways of how to make their gliders fly. And it was a very, very big success. So that's how this whole thing started. And I said, how can I put this in a book where I show students you need the basics, you need humanities that blossoms into technology? There's a lady, Kiori Kurabashi. She developed a medical device by observing leaves. And she observed leaves and how they fold, and she turned that into origami, and she was able to make a sort of catheter to help medical equipment go inside people where the tube would not collapse into people. And she got this idea from nature. So
that's amazing how nature has inspired you. Talk about you. Peru was one of the aha moments that you had when you saw what they were doing. Can you give us an example or two or what they were doing to use nature? Because sometimes here, I think we sort of fight nature. We're not really welcoming to nature.
Well, that's a thing, you know, nature takes a path of least resistance, so we shouldn't get in her way, you know. Basically, what I saw mostly is where the water flows, they didn't do any agriculture, any farming, anything like that. They left that part alone, and they moved to other parts where they weren't getting in the way of water flowing. I've seen instances where people have had small dams for hydropower. And they'll put some of the water that goes down, whether it's turning the turbine, they'll take some of the water and put it right back into the top layer and feed it again. So they have a reoccurring water flow. So
it's just amazing. But with us on the program is Joshua Miles. He's author of Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. The book is available right now, wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Go to our website, and you can link on directly to Josh's Amazon site and be able to get all that information there as well. Talk about the role of nature now. I don't get off subject. We'll come back and tie that into the book. But sometimes there's a reluctance to even acknowledge nature. And people will say, like, it's a novel idea. Walk outside and enjoy nature. You'll feel better. Are we getting any closer to actually trying to incorporate nature into our lives?
I think we're having a sort of renaissance. You know, people are starting to realize how important it is. You can get, you know, George Washington Carver developed a method to get plant to get colors for painting. You know, he had over 300 patents, and that's just one of the medicinal plants. You know, this is basically how I really got into nature, was learning about medicinal plants and their indications, and how we could not only use them but grow them ourselves, and basically, you know, take care of any type of ailments that we have. You know, when I was in Myanmar, there was a lady that told me about watercress. Watercress is very, very good for eyesight. And there's been a lot, quite a few people that have told me that they've gotten better eyesight using watercress.
That's amazing. Our guest on the program is Joshua Miles, the book Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. Talk about what a reader, and who's this designed for? I mentioned younger people, but believe me, anybody would learn something from in a very entertaining way in reading the book. What's the target audience? Who did you write this for?
So the reading level, in my opinion, would be seventh grade on up. Yes, it's great for kids to read it, but there's a lot of concepts that will come later in life. But the target audience, it would be, I would say, 13 all the way up to adults.
Yeah, I was going to say adults could learn something from this book as well. Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. You've got a company. Talk about the company and the function of the company. You've had and continue to have such an interesting life that's, you know, exploring and learning things. Talk about your company, if you would, please.
Okay, so basically I've developed a method to, and it's mentioned in the book, where I can, it's a botanical solution that I've developed. And it can make sand stick together and hold water for a long time. Now, I've tested this in Saudi Arabia. I've tested this. I've tested several samples in Arizona and New Mexico. And what it is able to do in a porous container is to keep shape integrity and keep the water inside the sand. And I've tried it in all types of weather, snow, wind, rain. It keeps its shape integrity. And it forms a shell on the outside. So it knows, the botanical solution knows the end of the container. So it will form a protection layer, and you'll see that through the darker color. And not only does it hold water, so in 100-degree weather, the sand in Saudi Arabia stayed hydrated for about 10 hours. 90 degrees and under, you'll get a couple of days, even 3 or 4 days of moist sand where you can plant your plants. Now, that's one thing. And what I also realized is it holds in the fertilizer. The fertilizer stays in place. So even a liquid fertilizer, like a seaweed fertilizer. So you're going to save a lot of money in water, and you're going to save a lot of money in fertilizer. So that's the second part. Obviously, the first part is the book. And I'm designing now an aircraft, the actual Desert Sea Flyer, where this aircraft can hover around the desert and send crews out to start rehabilitating the desert in the golden ratio sequence. So the aircraft will be able to turn into a cabin. The aircraft will have a machine where it can take from the atmosphere, atmospheric water, as long as there's a 30% humidity rate, which you can create within the aircraft anyway. And that will generate some more water. It'll be powered by solar. It won't be powered by solar, but it will have solar power availability on it and wind turbines. And that's, again, designed so the crews can go out in the desert and start rehabilitating the desert and take it from there. So there's three parts.
How do you see that advancing? Do you see that becoming something that that will actually happen?
I hope so. You know, I'm looking in areas in Arizona, Sun Valley, Arizona, around the Holbrook area to Flagstaff. That's a good area. There's a lot of desert land out there that's just sand. And I think that would be a good area to start and to start rehabilitating the desert and getting an ecosystem going and
It's amazing all you've got going, and you mentioned water at a time when we're reading in the paper about maybe a lack of water in some portions of the country. And it's all detailed in the book, Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. I mentioned you've got another book out there. Tell me about the sequel, and when will that be out?
The sequel is, I'm about halfway finished. It's about corruption. It's about escaping a very horrible situation. And it's about basically a lot of the people that we read about today who have their ideas stolen and buried. This particular character may or may not fall into that category. You know, will his life work be sold out from under him? We don't know. So there's a lot of parts in his book there's some parts in his book that are true. There's some parts in his book that are not. I'll leave you to read it and decide, you know, what's true and what's not. But it's going to be it's going to be a lot of action. It's going to be a lot of suspense. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, you've got my attention with that. When will that book be out, would you guess?
So I'm going to work with Durant's again. And so from print to sales, I think it takes about 14 months. So I've got to get the manuscript in, and it has to be reviewed. So I'm thinking about a year to 14-month time frame.
Okay, well, I look forward to that. In the meantime, you'll be entertained by Ali and learn something, Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. You talked about something before and dealing in teaching the young children in school, young people in school. You mentioned the science and math. You also mentioned humanities, and sometimes we look beyond the humanities. That's sort of like a secondary course. We need to focus on the hardcore, the science, the math, the technology. What's the role of humanities in a well-rounded individual? And did you have a background in humanities?
I do. So my master's was in secondary education with a focus in humanities. Also at Harvard, it was liberal arts, where you're touching, obviously, the humanities as well. That's part of liberal arts. And, you know, reading all these philosophers and these great mathematicians, you know, I realized early on that humanities is important for the tech industry. In early 2000s, computers were up and coming, and I was in the Army at Fort Hood, Texas. I was a communications sergeant, and a lot of guys were getting out and getting these boot camp courses for to learn about computers and work in these companies, and they were getting good jobs and they were getting high salaries, and then that fizzled out, and then these tech companies wanted their candidates to have degrees. And I said, I wonder why. I said, you know, they're fast-tracking to what they're needing. And the articles that I was reading was that they're missing something. Critical skills, you know, critical thinking,
yes,
and things like that. And I don't speak for everybody. I'm just saying that this is the articles that I was reading. And that kind of stroke an interest for me.
You know, it's fascinating. What a great background that you've had, and you take that background, fall upon that, and all the travel in the book, Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer. Where did this begin for you? Did you have a Mr. Akeem in your life, the parents that Ali had in his? Is that where this whole interest in things and nature and how things work, and did that happen at an early age for you? Was that family, school? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Carmel, New York, and we grew up on the countryside. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from New York City. And, you know, back in the 80s, the city was a city, and then the country was the country, and it's just kind of merging now. But, you know, we grew up, my parents, they had a small little house in Carmel, New York, and we had rivers, streams, we had a reservoir across the street, we had a forest in our backyard, and it was a good time. And then pretty much every place we lived by, we were close to nature, and so it had to stem from my parents and growing up and things like that.
What an amazing childhood, and carry that through the adulthood. So I'm so impressed with all that you've done and all that you continue to do. What do you hope the reader takes away after reading Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer? What do you hope the motivation is? What do you hope the message to leave with the reader?
Well, I hope they enjoy the book. I hope they delve into some of the topics that I talk about, some of the countries that I talk about. They just kick back and relax and enjoy the show. Enjoy the story.
Well, enjoy the story and get maybe some motivation, some ideas besides that. Talk about the background as well. We talk about the travel and the influence that had on you and the nature, as you just mentioned, growing up. How about the teaching and having young minds and having them attuned to what you're talking about and responding? Has that given you sort of a better idea how to get a message across in a relatable, understandable idea to a younger person?
You know, that's a good question. So, you know, in education, we have a term called differentiation, you know, and that's finding the path, how each student learns. And that was part of it. I'm glad you mentioned that. That was part of it. So, you know, basically hoping everybody can learn from this book and finding different paths to talk about one major theme. And I hope I did it.
Well, and you did. The book is receiving excellent reviews, promising idea with great illustrations, which is another part of the book. I didn't even mention that. Talk about the illustrations, because the illustrations really enhance the quality of the book.
So let me tell you, Margaret Breed is an amazing, amazing woman. You could write a book about her life, and she's such a humble person. So Margaret is the illustrator of the book. And we worked together in Asia. We taught together in Asia. We've been friends for about 8 or 10 years. And you know, I didn't know who to call to illustrate my book. And I texted her and I said, "Hey, Margaret, I'm writing a book. You interested?" You know, I figured out we get a message back in 2 weeks. So let me see my schedule. And she messaged me back in 30 seconds. She says, "I'm in."
Amazing. What's it like?
It was. And what? She's an amazing person, an amazing artist, and she's got a lot of professional work out there. She teaches art. Portfolio.
She understands you. How important is that for an author to have an illustrator that understands your mission, what you are attempting to do, rather than somebody who's freelancing out there with their own ideas? Because I use the word enhanced, and it really does. It complements the text and the story you're telling. How important is that? In fact, just the knowledge that you've got somebody you fully trust working with you on the project.
Basically, seeing her work over the years, she'll send me a lot of her stuff. And she's a well-traveled individual as well. And I tell you what's funny. There was about 8 or 10 illustrations that she had already done, and she showed me. I said, "Wait, this is perfect for the book. Can we use it?" She's like, "Yeah, go ahead." I said, "This is excellent." You know, so that it was meant to be.
I was going to say it was meant to be. It was a destiny that the two of you got together to work on this book. The book is Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer by Joshua Miles. The book available at Amazon, all the usual places, kingpagespress.com, handling the marketing as a marketing consultant for Joshua in this book. Book available wherever books are sold. We'll have the Amazon link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Joshua, a pleasure having you on the program. I've marked down 14 months, give or take, and we'll come back and talk about the new book there as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Joshua Miles, author of Ali and His Adventures with the Desert Sea Flyer, book available wherever books are sold. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.